She says it wasn't a good idea, but like right now it's nice and shady outside, but I thought my front porch one day would be good, but it's 85 degrees a day and probably we'd all be sweating. I appreciate the opportunity. So good news, we're back in Philippians. Grant missed something the other day. And that's good, right? Because if we ever get to the point where you're like, hey, Grant got it all, or this person got it all,
yeah,
we should probably pack up and not,
that's right,
not do it. So there's always something you hear something that says it just sticks out to you, right?
Yeah.
And I guess maybe the reason why is because I guess it kind of related to one of my favorite passages in the Bible. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. And we're just going to read a few verses here. And then we're going to go somewhere else here in a minute. So I don't need to rehash this. Grant's hit it good. He's explained more of this than I could ever imagine. But so we're going to read Philippians 1, 23 through 27. It says, Paul says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Verse 27 is where I really want to focus here. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So, Paul says a lot there, right? And Paul, I feel like he's an emotional roller coaster, right? We've seen him really getting on churches, we've seen him encouraging churches, we've seen him saying really positive things, some things, it's like, man, I can't believe you would say that to somebody that you cared about. But he says it all, but, you know, he's in jail, and, he says here he has that desire to depart, to be with Christ, because he knows that's far better than being in jail. Yeah. And then in verse 25, I like this. Having this confidence that I know I shall abide and continue. That's a lot of confidence when you're in shackles, mm-hmm. right? And you don't know the next day. What is he confident in? You know, I think that he's confident in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Verse 26, it says, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. You can even flip over to Philippians 4:4. You don't have to do that. But we always hear this verse. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a lot for Paul to say that. For him to be able to say that he was rejoicing is a pretty big deal. And then in verse 27, and this pairs up good with thoughts I've had in the past. And I guess I probably had this devotion in my mind for a while, and something that was low hanging fruit because I had it all put together in my brain. I just had to write it down this morning. But it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So it's just saying, hey, let your conduct be that way. That's what that says. It doesn't say specifically your conversation, like, hey, say good things. It says, let your conduct. So how you act, how you behave, all that stuff there. Let it become the gospel of Christ. It says, whether I see you or I'm not there, he may hear your affairs. You stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So, that's what I want to talk about tonight, is standing fast. One spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So what is that? What are we standing still in? I'm going to flip over to Ephesians 3, I think. I'm sorry, Ephesians 4. And I'll read a few verses here. It says, this is again Paul speaking, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk with worthy of vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So, what are we standing in? everything you just said, right? We're standing in Christ, we're standing with one Spirit. You know, and makes me think of, you know, progressing forward with a building and property. We have a lot of moving parts. How do we accomplish that? Standing fast, one Spirit.
Amen.
One mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Good.
And that's what we should be doing. So, flip over to Jude. And I'm not reading any verses here that you guys haven't heard before. The book of Jude, verse 3, says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Right? This brother here is in Israel. He's contending for the faith.
Yeah.
There's no difference in Israel or Ball County or on Clark Road. It's all the same. We're contending for the faith. We're striving together with one Spirit. And that phrase, stand fast, I think a lot of times, because I catch myself doing it, I don't want to stand still. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And at work, I'm very guilty of it. Catherine can probably verify, the last couple of days I've just been like wanting to piddle and do stuff, right? That's what I like doing. I'm not a big fan of sitting still. But one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is Exodus 14. I'm sorry I'm making you flip over several different places. The good news is this is quick and to the point, right? So in Exodus 14, Moses is leading the children of Israel. They're getting ready to cross the Red Sea, right? And we see up into verses, I don't know what verse it is, I just know it's there. In verse 12 it says, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it is better to us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness."
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he had all those people following him. You're going to see one of the greatest miracles that we hear about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the children of Israel have gave up, right? They're not standing fast with one Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They're not contending for the faith, right? So, verse 13 says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall see them no more. You shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." So Moses tells the people, hey, settle down, be patient, see what's going on here. Stand still. Right? I think we can all do that. Right? In our Christian lives, when it comes to approaching things, sometimes it's best to stop, see what's going on. Right? Because what do we want to do? Right? It'd be nice to have, I think I counted like 45 people tonight. It'd be nice to have 45 people in a big, nice building.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It would be really cool. Break ground tomorrow, right? Staying still. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to move fast. And I don't say that just because of a building. This can be anything in your life. We want to move fast. We want to move on without standing still. So verse 15, here's the important part. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." So the children of Israel are unhappy, right? They say, hey, you should have left us there. Moses says, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in verse 15, I want y'all to answer this to me. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward." Who says go forward? Not us, right? He said it through Moses. Moses said that. He told the children of Israel that we're going to go forward, but God said that, right? Sometimes we have to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, as it says there.
Amen.
And it's not talking about salvation getting saved. It's talking about day-to-day stuff. See God manifesting in himself. I wrote here, it's like we've got to stand still. We have to look. We're going to see the salvation of the Lord, right? It's not going to be, we're going to see the salvation of the Lord that I force my hand at, or I speed up the process, or I change it this way, right? We're going to see the salvation of the Lord. We're going to let God work. We're going to hush, right? And God's going to give us the answer when to move. He's going to direct that path. He's going to direct how we need to go. You know, it'd be nice to keep reading and read, you know, the whole story of them crossing the Red Sea is an amazing story. And a lot can be said there, right? Moses, he raises his rod, the waters part, they walk across on dry ground. So in the span of a couple of verses there, it says the same seal, and God says to go forward. So what do we do, right? Here's our application. Do we stand still or do we move forward? How do we figure that out, right? Well, the good news is we don't. God figures it out for us, right? If we stand still and we get nudged in the back, not by one of us, but if we're nudged in the back, chances are what? It's God saying, hey, go forward,
yeah.
Right? If you're walking out ahead and all of a sudden you're unsteady at your feet and you can't steady yourself, chances are what? God's saying, hey, hang on a second, stand still. Mm-hmm. So why do we do all this? Why do we wait? Right? Because I don't want to wait. Right? I don't want to go forward. I want to do something. Right? Why listen? Why have faith in His doings? Right? You ever read something in the Bible and you're like, oh, I didn't know this was there. I thought it was somewhere else. So in Job, when we turn to Job, Job is a lot deeper than what I thought it was. I thought it was a couple chapters of setting up the story, and then I just thought it was a bunch of nonsense for like 30 chapters, and then kind of a finale at the last chapter. Well, that's not it at all.
No.
Job is super deep. It has some amazing stuff in there. And here's the good news about Job. Job complained. He asked God why. He questioned God. He did a lot of things. But what's it say at the end? It said, in all that he said not. Mm-hmm. That leaves me a little bit of hope, right? Because I'm not very good at any of that stuff, right? Because when you read that in, it says, in Job, in all this he sinned not. And you're like, hold up here. In chapter 17, you said some really awful things about questioning God, right? So I think it has to do with our attitude. And I think that's, you know, something to learn from Job. But anyways, back to the point here. So Job 19, Job is talking. He's got friends. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them are really good. Some of them are really bad. And they're conversing and they're going back and forth. And in 19, verse 21, Job's having a little pity party here because it says that. It says, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me. O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Yes, the hand of God has touched you, Job. Why do ye persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and the lead in the rock forever. You think Job knew he was going to have a book in the Bible about it? Right? That they're going to roll these scrolls up and hide them in caves? And we're going to find them thousands of years later and hear about how awful his life was? He must have known something, right? Verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another through my reins be consumed within me. So Paul says, we read it in Philippians, what did he say? Rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So why does Paul say rejoice, and again I say rejoice? Why does he say that? Why is he able to have that confidence? Because Job told him thousands of years before mm-hmm. that, right? I know that my Redeemer lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. So when we're supposed to stand fast, right? I want to make sure I read this right. It says, when we stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, what's our hope? Why do that? It's easy. Our Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
That's why we have one spirit. That's why we have one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It seems complicated because we want to overcomplicate things. We want to speed up when it's not time to speed up. We want to slow down when it's not time to slow down.
That's right.
Sometimes it's like Moses and we say, hey, stand still, wait. And then two verses later, God's like, no, I said go forward. There's a lot that goes on. There's a lot that's moving parts. But in doubt, and when you're in doubt of all that, I know my Redeemer lives.
Yeah.
That's my hope. Right? That's why we can wait. That's why we can stand fast. And that's why we can go forward. God gives, there's examples after examples. You could preach a message about standing still and waiting, and then flip two pages over and preach a message about hurrying up and going fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the beauty of the Bible. But my Redeemer lives. That's why I can do that. Right? That's why I can have the faith in whether he says to speed up or slow down, that's the speed I'm going. And that's my challenge to you all tonight. Stand fast, right? One spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, that's what we have to do as a church. We strive together as one, right? Just like Grant said the other day, there's lots of different, we have different avenues, right? But what's our end goal? Striving together for the gospel, right? Which was once delivered unto the saints, like I said in June. That's my challenge, is to stand fast with one spirit, one mind, and for the faith of the gospel.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Good.
Thank you very much.